the gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sending me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, y'all.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches. They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit. Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
Hello, witches. Welcome to this episode of That Witch Life Podcast. I'm Hillary. I'm your host today. I'm joined by Courtney.
Hey.
Kanani.
Hello.
And our guest, Erica.
Hey there.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about Erica later in the episode and ask her some of our burning questions. But for the moment, we wanted to start the episode off. And this episode, we're going to focus on herbal magic.
Yes.
And the use of herbs and magic. And so we're very blessed to have Erica here to be able to
tell us what we're doing wrong.
Tell us all the things we're messing up. Yes.
Big things to meet up to, yes.
Exactly. How has everyone's week been?
It was a week.
It was a weird week.
Okay, so first of all, people have just been mean.
Yes.
What is this? I mean, yes. at my day job, I'm getting calls from colleagues saying, oh my God,
people
are mean.
My friend who's an astrologer is like, watch out. Oh. People are going to be a little nasty, and people are going to be nasty.
Mean.
I'm like, what's wrong with you?
I know. It's just,
oh, yeah,
it's
people
freaking...
have been jerks all week.
Oh yeah. God. And then,
it's like, I don't get it.
So I've been mired in edits for the Morgan book, which is due Wednesday. And so if I'm a little scattered, more scattered than usual, it's because half of my head is in Celtic Ireland. And then my poor dog got really sick.
Oh, I know. Poor Ichabod.
He has canine flu because he's special and has one of the few cases in Oregon.
Yeah, influenza is like a thing now.
That sucks.
It sucks. So his poor, like, it's so disgusting. His nose has been just this volcano of green grossness.
That is so disgusting.
It's so disgusting. And he just, it looks so sad and doesn't understand what's going on. And he was awake all night, two nights ago, just like, help me, I don't feel good. And so I was sleeping on the floor next to him. And then I scratched my husband's new car yesterday. I totally did that.
When?
I was pulling out of the driveway. If he seemed kind of sullen last night before he had wine, that was why.
It happens, though. You gotta break it in. It happens.
That's what Tiz
Lacanoni says. It's no longer shiny and new.
And what you should say is, if it makes him feel any better, at least you didn't scratch your car.
No, I did scratch
right?
my car.
That's what I would say to my husband.
No,
if
that happened.
If it makes you feel better, I scratched your car, not my car.
No,
so
my car is also scratched, but he was like, he went out and made a point, goes, oh, the damage is on mine. We haven't even made the first payment, and I'm crying because I feel terrible.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like,
You know, when I first bought my car, I have a Honda Element. I, like, pulled up next to another Honda Element, right, in the parking lot. And this guy's like, oh, how do you like your car? I was like, I just bought it a week ago. And he's like, I'm going to give you some advice. Break it in. Like, let it, don't, if you worry about, this is a vehicle that's meant to be used and run hard and going camping. And if you're worried about the micro hair scratch you might get on the back of the bump. I mean, you're
so expensive. You know, we like. Ugh.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah,
I know.
It's hard.
So painful.
But it's like those things are going to happen, whether they happen now or in a week, or some jerk opens their car door and. But,
yeah.
You know, so it's. But I know it's the worst when you're like, no, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And also, I'm feeling dumb because, okay, I lived in New York City for 13 years, and when I was living here in Portland, I didn't have a car, and so. I looked at my husband and he goes, well, you're going to have to look into fixing it. And I said, I don't know how to do that. And he goes, well, it's just, you know, and I'm like, I literally don't know what to do.
Oh, you can fix it yourself.
Oh,
it just
no,
might not
this one
turn
myself.
Out the way that you
have. I get some red nail polish.
I got some nail polish.
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually, you can. You can
so
fix it.
Sharpie
the colors,
and, like, color it back in.
The colors and the finish has a lot to do with how you make it disappear.
Okay.
So there are ways of doing it.
Yeah.
There are little kits and things.
There are kits you can get specifically
that
for that car.
Match the color and everything.
Oh,
yeah. Don't
okay.
worry.
We'll look into it. It was just
it's a whole new world.
I mean, or you could just go. You could probably get it done for like a couple hundred bucks. It's not if it's a small. If it's not not a dent and it's just listening.
Yeah, it's not a dent. If it's purely like paint scratch,
it's not a big deal.
Then you can
okay,
get it
then I feel better because I was just like laying in bed last night saying, and even all the money we saved up to pay off his loans.
Even if it was a small dent, if it's not like structural damage, they can. I mean, yeah. they can handle.
They can just buff it out usually, and
so
then refinish.
So anyway,
Bondo goes a long way.
Exactly.
So anyway, that was my week: Celtic Ireland, dog snot, and scratched car. That's my week.
Celtic Ireland, dog snot, scratched car.
Yes.
That's a week.
That's disgusting.
Kanani's really, really into this conversation.
That's disgusting.
Toddler tantrums. Really
yes.
Good. Yeah, we're getting into tantrum time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a fun time. Mm-hmm. That's real
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot. She's here a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
By the way, I should have said this earlier, but we are actually broadcasting from Queen Meb, which is Erica's store. It's in the
another Celtic Ireland reference.
It is. She's actually a relative of mine.
Really?
So I figured if I borrow her name, she wouldn't be angry at me.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're
that's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, she's actually Maeve, but you know, the old Celtic spelling is M-E-D-B, right? And I don't want to be confused with Mab, right?
Yeah.
Queen Mab, who was the fairy, because I'm not quite that flavor. Although, very Celtic, right?
Yeah.
Put that in there. lots of spots on my face. I've been doing a lot of research, and I found out that she's my relative. And I thought, well, what can I do to make it mine, but sort of respect the name? And I just thought, well, I always like the spelling of that, so I'll just M-E-B. Like, why not?
Yeah.
M-E-B. And then the shortened, just to make it complicated, right? The Q
yeah,
dot.
The Q.
Yeah. yeah.
Q
make it.
I like that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Trying to make it a little more 2000-something instead of 90s-something, right?
You know? For those of you...
Queen is so 1997, okay? Hey. We're Q now. We're all about the Q.
Oh,
I had a month in my week because every day seemed like it lasted a week because on just last night, I had a huge event that I've literally been working on for a year.
Oh, wow.
That finally happened, and it was a huge fundraiser night. And so the day before, I had 20 million errands I had to run. Some of them I had to take my kids with me because running errands with kids, let me say, is super, super fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
when they fall asleep, it's very fun.
Oh, yes. So one of the things I had to... is this was like a really fancy event. And so it was like cocktail formal attire. And I have already picked out the dress that I was going to wear because it was comfortable. It fit. It looked nice. But I had my shapewear that I own. Well, I know it's older than my children. I want to say it's probably... it is probably... 15 years old. Like, the elastic is gone. Like,
we
it's
already
not
talked
even
about
anymore.
This. We talked
yes,
about this. We told you that a month ago.
So, I bought one.
Sorry for her.
I bought one on Friday. Like,
okay,
the whole
show. Okay,
oh, yeah. Like, the whole shebang. Shuck it all in so I look like the tube sausage action.
Yeah.
And I had to try it on. And when I tried it on and I broke a sweat putting it on, that's when I knew it was the right size. Because I was sweating by the time I had this on and I had encased myself. That I've got the sweats happening.
This is so foreign to me.
And
to get me into a dress is a very rare occasion.
Oh my goodness. And so I get that. I get my shapewear. I have my dress. The one thing I really wanted to... Oh, and I had my eyebrows waxed. Whoosh, so there would be two. That was really good. I always try and take care of my nails, and no matter what I try, vitamins, stuff like that, they're always flaky, and they always break, and then they hurt, and then they're cutting on things, and I'm always hurting myself. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have some acrylic nails put on, because I haven't had acrylic nails, literally, since the 90s.
They look very
okay?
fancy, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
They're very shiny and non-chip.
And so I literally run in. I run in, and I go, how fast can you give me nails? And they just look at me, and they're like, 50 minutes. I'm like, done, because I have to pick up my kids in an hour. So I'm sitting there, and they're all working diligently.
They
bring
the whole team out.
Oh, yeah. There's two people. We've got someone on my feet. We got someone on my hands. They're looking at me like, she is a hot mess. Let's all help her quickly.
Wait.
This is a vocation for us. This is why we got into this work.
Right.
So they give me beautiful nails. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I've got two eyebrows now, and I'm all excited. And I go to pick up my kids, and... I now have these things on my fingers.
That you don't know how to put them.
I'm like, I go to like make
how do I grab something?
I go to attack, and people, because this event is coming up, are frantically
texting
me.
Nightmare.
They're texting me, and they're sending me emails. And I'm trying to touch my phone, and I'm like, crap, I'm touching it in like six different places, neither of which I wanted. So I have to learn very quickly to like use the pads of my fingers now to text.
Yeah.
And be, but do also that. Do it in a way that
get
the nail
swipe
doesn't
keyboard.
Touch.
That's the way to get. When I had my nails long for a while, I
also
got a swipe
foreign
keyboard.
To me.
Yes. Me too. I don't do that. I can't.
If
stand.
They just grow and break. That's like
that's
I just let
do.
Them do their
that's
thing.
That's what mine do. And I dealt with that for like 20 years. For like 20 years, and so I was just like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I've worked so hard. I'm going to try this. And I love them. And they're beautiful. But now I'm trying to live a life with fingernails, which is completely foreign to me.
Witchy photos online where you have this lady
oh, like
holding something.
Talons.
And she's got the
yes.
talons.
Like
the pointed black talons.
Long.
And you see it and you're like, she can't do anything.
How do you
know.
Go to the bathroom?
Yes.
How
are you like, are you digging
You know
up,
she doesn't touch herself. You know
no,
she can't pick
no.
her nose.
No.
God forbid she needs to scratch her back.
Do you really think she's digging up stones?
But
in
how,
the
do
nice.
I'm
how
not,
do you put makeup on?
I'm not going to lie. I have.
You dip it in the jar and you scrape it off.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a whole new world. Of course, my daughter loves it. She thinks it's just fabulous. My poor daughter, my husband was coaching. So while I was having to then very frantically the next day get ready for the event, she gets to help mom put on shapewear. That was a fun learning experience. So I'm able to step in it and I'm pulling it up, but I have to get it over my hips. Once I get over my hips, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But so she's like, and I have claws now.
Oh my God.
So whereas the first time when I put it on, I was breaking a sweat, I was fine because I could just,
I
could pull.
I'm offended that you did not FaceTime us when this
oh,
was happening.
I should have. I should have had my
we
son.
We should have played it on the
podcast.
We should have
had
my
Instagram
it.
Live stream to
oh,
our podcast.
It was.
Like,
and
that
so my,
should have happened.
Bless my daughter. She's like, I'm like, just. Yank it up, honey. Yank it up. And she's grabbing. She's like, I got it, Mom. I got you. I got you. And she's yanking it up. And we get it on. And she's like, put this over your shoulder. I mean, it was teamwork. And
she's
and
what, then, eight?
She's eight.
She's eight.
She's eight. These are important
You're
life
making
lessons.
Her sound like she's 20 and she's
eight.
And doing this.
What's And the one
she's
reason,
a badass. She
the
totally
one reason I don't feel bad about it is I never, we never discuss weight. She's never even heard the word diet. She wouldn't even know what that means. She's like all
She has
about,
heard the word Dairy Queen.
Oh, 100 times. She loves Dairy Queen. But, so it's like, I don't worry about her with body positivity issues because, like, we talk about it all the time. And I'll put on a dress or I'll put on something and I think I look like a frumpy hot mess. My kids are like, you look so beautiful. You know, they're just, it's like, I don't really worry. Because at first I was like, oh, I don't want her to see me wearing shapewear. I'm like, you know what?
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. She doesn't get it. But so that was a fun little like mommy daughter moment. Was her helping me with
That's
my shapewear?
So, cute.
So that was my week.
Excellent. How was your week? Was it good? Hectic in the shop.
It's
right?
It's always hectic. It's we get you know two sides of the coin here, right? So some people in distress, some people who are like you're the devil, some people who are like.
Yeah, those people.
I'm brand new, by the way. How do I contact spirits? Where's the scrying mirror? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
they're like, well, time out. Like,
take some baby steps here, you know?
I saw the craft. You're supposed to help me call the quarters.
Yes.
The corners, as they call it. And then, because how does a circle have corners?
Biggest question.
Yeah,
where's
that
the
is
book?
Weird.
Where's the book? There's no book. Like, well,
where's
I need a
the
book.
Book?
Yeah, the book.
Oh, people the book.
So funny. Yeah, where's the book? I'm
see,
like,
this is why
what
we
are you
do
into?
This podcast, because people don't, you know.
It's
they don't nuts. Know where
to start.
They don't know
what
to start.
And, you know, it's an urban area, right?
Yeah, right?
You know, we're in a city, so we're also very close to a couple bars that get really happening, and so sometimes I have classes, and I get some people wandering in, be like, what the hell is this place? And I'm like, bar clock's on, we're going to lock the door, got my Letterman class going on right now,
yeah.
Shut it down, you know?
For those of you in Portland, Oregon, Queen Mab is, or Q Mab, you can find them on Facebook, is on the corner of Northeast 19th and Northeast Broadway. So you should come check them out. It's a really beautiful shop.
It's a
I mean,
fabulous
it's kind
shop.
Of amazing to be broadcasting from here because it's like, we're, everywhere I look, I'm like, beautiful crystals, beautiful clothing,
really
oils,
hard.
Books. You know, it's just, it's really awesome, so...
Yeah, so, but you also have an online store. People can order things from you.
I have
online.
A lot going on. I have like three or four businesses. So if I look crazy all the time, it might be because of that. So we've got the retail location here. For 3 years, we were in Eugene. We had Kevin or Coven Craft Rituals, which is actually the brand that we still have. So we wholesale that in about 25 locations. So we have people who buy that wholesale, and then we have everything in the store here also available online. They're actually mirrored sites right now, so don't be confused if you go to either or and you find it. And then I also run the House of Twigs, which is an online international blog. We've got about 23 writers, I think. Lots of different sort of witchy paths. It's all contributed by the people who write, so it's sort of a passion project. We don't make any money from it or anything. And I solely publish everything, which is kind of a nightmare, right? And then we have the House of Twigs online school, which is the School of Ritual. So there's that. There are some classes, and the writers, they keep a very high amount of the profits of what they make. So they retain the rights to their content, and then I help get that and put that online for them so they don't have to provide that infrastructure because it's very expensive. So people have to apply to get that, but it is a paid position, and then they retain the rights, and then they get, you know, sort of the publication from it and shared and all of that. So, so very busy. But it's nice because those people do come and teach classes here sometimes, and there's sort of like a networking involved with that. And some of them have gone viral, which is a little crazy. And dealing with the tech side of that. Luckily, I'm a little tech savvy. Wave at my neighbors here. A little tech savvy. And so I'm able to go in and, you know, make sure it doesn't like shut down our system and stuff. And we get, you know,
80,000
views on a
What is your zodiac sign?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, it's complicated.
Okay. it sounds that way.
I'm an Aries on the Pisces cusp. So I'm actually 2 degrees Aries. It's got a lot of twos in there. We got a Taurus rising, thus the nice stuff, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I have Gemini moon. So
okay, so that's where all the communication stuff is going on. I'm like, all right, what's the calm stuff in
my,
your chart?
My midheaven is in Aquarius. So yeah, like lots of things going on. And I've got my Chiron is in the 12th house in Taurus, which means I'm a crazy magnet. Yeah.
I'm also a crazy magnet.
Yeah. And then my Mercury's in Pisces, which is very complicated also. Mm. Yeah. And my partner is a lot of Scorpio, Cancer, some more Scorpio, with a lot of Virgo in there. So it's a lot. There's a lot happening. And
I'm feeling a lot just hearing you talk about it.
He works here also with...
He's super nice.
Yeah, he's very nice. He's intimidating, but not in a bad way. He's intense, Scorpio, as they are. So between the all of us and then the toddler, who's also got a very complicated sign, it's always interesting, you know, but... It makes for a lot going on here and a lot of creativity. We chose this spot also because it's a 3 numerologically, so, you know, creative vibes,
yeah,
that kind of thing. So keep it going. Yeah.
Amazing. I want to read your badass bio because it is like, it kind of blew me away the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first time.
I've been writing it for many years. I've been retrying and retrying.
Some of it you've heard Erica speak on, but... when I first met Erica, I actually wandered in here. A friend of mine said, oh, have you been over to QMAB? And I was like, I don't know, what is that, you know? She goes, what? And she gets in the car and she drives me over here. And I came into the shop and I just went, what the hell? This is amazing, you know? And of course, then I just kept coming back like a weirdo and like hanging around. And then I've attended a couple of Erica's classes, which are awesome.
They're fun.
And when I took, you know, when I signed up for the classes, I read her bio and I was just kind of blown away by all the things that she has done. So I feel like I have to share this with our listeners because I think that it gives a really good insight to who you are and the kind of background you have and how all of those things have
There's probably more on there. So if you have questions, I'm right here.
Erica Fortner, founder and headmistress of the House of Twigs, has been a tarot reader, witch, medium, and psychic for 23 plus years. She is also the headmistress and curator of Thought.
We reclaimed those hoes over there, right? Or that hoe over there. I'm from California, so you can't take me seriously with that acronym. Just come on.
Just get over it.
It's just something that works, and it's nice to have a couple different... So, yeah, the House of Twigs is
the House
what it
of
represents.
Twigs. But that's really cool. I love that, because I was reading that, and I was like, I'm assuming that's the House of Twigs, but I also was like, interesting, and it's good to hear. It's cool.
That's actually our logo right there, in reverse, which Tad designed. It's got all of the Master Runes in it, and it represents the pentacle there. But the concept is all the people that contribute is what makes it exist. So it's a unique combination of people, really.
Fantastic. She is an artist with a BFA from Pratt Institute and has an extensive fine art background in New York City with one of the top artists in the world, working with museums such as the MoMA and Guggenheim, as well as living in Berlin, Germany, and Venice, Italy. She is an eclectic energy worker, Reiki master, as well as other healing modalities, shamanic folklore witch, specializing in her own style of in-depth tarot reading, crystal work, and channeling. She favors the Morrigan, Isis, Hecate, Freya, and Sernunios. I always pronounce this wrong.
I think it's Cernunnos.
Cernunnos. Yeah. I always, for some reason, I always say Cernunnos, and
some
I know it's wrong.
Some people say Cernunnos, some say Cernunnos. Cernunnos. I mean, sometimes you'll see it spelled with a K.
Yeah.
He's fabulous.
He is fabulous. Really I always do a soft, like an S rather than a C, and every time I'm like, that
doesn't
sound
mind,
right.
To be honest. I don't think he does.
Erica's inspiration of ritual comes from many areas, including her family lineage, which connects to the first kings of Ireland, Queen Mab, the King of the Picts, as well as connections with the Welsh Llewellyn family, the Scottish McLaughlins,
DeForest.
I'm so bad at pronouncing things.
The only reason I know these things is because I've done some research and I found some lines that was already researched. So I was very lucky to find these things. Yes.
Fantastic. So the Scottish McLaughlins, DeForest and MacLeod clans. She has worked for the Psychic Friends Network while in Brooklyn before deciding the ethos of the company didn't align with her practice. She now has her roots planted in Portland, Oregon with her partner and daughter. So, I mean, it's kind of, in getting to know Erica a little bit more over the last couple of months, it's really amazed me to see how she takes all of these different parts of her life, the artistic side, her witchcraft work, and accumulated them into kind of this beautiful shop and all of the online resources you have and all of the products you make. And so it's cool to see that. I've taken a few classes, but I did her bookbinding class.
Right.
And the ink, the ritual ink making class.
Ritual ink making class.
I think yours turned out the best, but
Oh, you know. But so it's really cool to be able to take that ritual element and then her artistic background, because it lends to itself so well. So we wanted to ask you a few questions, as we always ask. We always have kind of some questions for our guests, and the first one that I wanted to ask you is when did you first realize you were a witch, or how were you drawn to magic?
Oh, I mean, do you want the longer story? Sort of longer story, sort of.
Yeah.
I was raised evangelical, so that put a very interesting flavor on things. But my dad is like a, what you would call a retired Mary prankster, biker, now Zen Buddhist. So we kind of ran away from fundamental Christianity, right? Because this is like totally not something that I should be involved with. But essentially it was having something of a spiritual practice, which is a little intense, obviously, but not aligning with it. So needing something that explained some things more. And when you have a fundamental religion, it explains a little, oversplains, right, what your experience is. But I, you know, being that Pisces cusp, I saw stuff, I heard stuff, and their explanation for it really didn't fit with me, which was I was a bad person, I was doing something bad, you know, I shouldn't be seeing these things, I was a demonic child or whatever. So I guess just growing up and understanding that I didn't align with that and trying to come up with answers for myself. And Southern California, there were quite a few interesting stores out there. So we'd frequent some of the shops and just go in. And some of them were a little scary, and some of them you'd walk out with a headache. You know, I was born in 1980, so a lot of the stores also have the New Age movement that was happening really big in California, too. And so it kind of crossed over very easily into New Age, so I kind of got a little more interested in that and went to a couple like psychic classes. Gosh, how old was I? I was probably in early high school when I started going to some of these psychic classes and realizing, they're not my people. This is not for me. So, I don't know. I think early on it started because I used to make a lot of things outside. We had a lot of plants in the yard, you know, different herbs and, I mean, crazy stuff. We had a loquat tree, avocado tree, lemon tree, you know, it's just somebody planted this crazy garden. So I would sit out there with these bowls and I would make these like perfumes in the sun. I was basically making flower essence as a kid. And as I was growing up, I don't know if you know numerology, I'm 7, right? So I'm the chariot, but we also know stuff. We just know stuff. And so my mom would say, oh, well, something's going on with my skin. And I'd say, well, just go take this fruit and rub it on your arm or something. And she'd come back and be like, wow, that actually worked.
How did that work? Yeah.
How do you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. Everybody knows that, right? She's like, no. So, and I started having these like experiences of kind of like, I don't know, you could say like past life experiences of just like I was like in a hut in a forest or something, and I just kind of have come to the conclusion I must have had some life doing something else. I don't know, being an old lady fixing things with plants. So, you know, and I'm okay with believing that, because for me, it just kind of helps support what I'm doing now with my life, which is the things that I like, but also things that kind of make sense to me and the energy that makes sense to me. So, yeah, I did these classes, realizing it wasn't for me. But I would say probably sometime in middle school, I started experimenting with, you know, different things. I think the first sort of magical aspect was the Morrigan. Really into her. Just like, I don't know why, really, really drawn to her. So I just studied her and decided this would be interesting for me. And there was nobody really talked to, so I got on Witchvox. I still have my Witchvox account. I think it's probably one of the older accounts on there. And that site looks exactly the same, right? So it's very confusing to me how it still looks the same. But because of that, I could never find the information I was looking for. So all of these experiences going into these shops that I would get a headache from, or even just a like a crystal store, you know, you go in, you're going, gosh, this is overwhelming.
I would also always get headaches.
Sick.
Yeah.
I feel nauseous. So why would you want to go to a store and get your supplies where you feel sick, right? Or you don't want to feel like something nasty came home with you. You don't want to be scared of something that you bought at a store. So for me, it was taking all of the things that I enjoyed and then trying to put them into something, right? And so my exploration and my own personal experience with, you know, after the Morrigan, I was like, ooh, I really like Isis. And I started really looking into what that was. I read the Hermetica, and I was a weird kid. You know, I read all the tragedies of, you know, Shakespeare when I was like, I don't know, 10 or something. And they're like, you're strange. So I was always a little bit of a loner, doing my own thing, a little odd, made my own clothes. You know, I was a strange kid. And then when I was about 10, I started painting. So there was a lot of experimentation with materials and things like that. I like to make things. I like to cook, and I like to... So there's this combination and this culmination of materials with interests. I also really liked fantasy novels, right? You know, so sort of bringing some fantasy into your life. And I think that's really interesting about having a magical practice, is it takes us out of this mundane concept that everything is solid and everything has to be a certain way, or it has to be taken too seriously. And it's not to say that I think that some of these things are... you know, I don't know, some deity floating up in the room here and, you know, giggling or smiling, or there's some fairies dancing around or whatever. And it's okay to believe that. But I think it's interesting to think that, you know, that there are energies and crystals that help us, and you can take them or not. And plants have these sort of plant energies and allies that you can sort of align with and use in your life. And you can believe them to be fanciful, or you can believe them to be very accessible and very simple and, you know, so I would probably consider myself a hedge witch, but to be honest, I don't actually consider myself an herbalist. I think in this industry, it's very dangerous to call yourself an herbalist, because there is no herbalist certification. So that's a really unique thing. Nobody really understands that. And when you get into product making or get into topical, what's considered the cosmetic industry, it's very, very different than herbalism, which is meant to be something to... be used in the home as a folklore use. As soon as you get into giving plants to people to fix something or cure a disease, we get into FDA medical claims. Yeah, it gets very complicated.
Yeah. So you have to be really careful, yeah.
So we do sell herbs here. And I do have knowledge of some folklore herbalism, but I would definitely not say I'm an herbalist who says, hey, you have a problem, take this, it'll fix your whatever.
I think you touched on something which I think is really...
I know I'm all over the place.
No,
I think that's actually perfect.
No, I think you touched on something which I think was really... I just want to kind of expand on a little bit for the people listening, because a lot of the people listening are really interested in the podcast because they might be newer to this.
Right.
Or they're just learning about stuff. And kind of what you touched on was, you know, with other religions and with other faiths, a lot of times you're believing what you're believing because that's what you're told to believe.
Right.
Or that's what is part of the belief system that you're being taught, or that's what the book says of whatever that book is, or all that kind of stuff. Whereas when you come to a spiritual practice like this, it's what is true to you. Mm-hmm. And so when you're practicing it and when you're exploring it, either it feels organic or it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people who practice witchcraft don't necessarily care what other people are practicing, because if it's true to you, then that's awesome.
Yes.
And I don't have to feel any obligation to your truth being my truth. Like, there can just be this mutual respect.
Yeah, there's so many approaches.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I say that when people come in here, because people say, well, what do I do? And I'm like, well, what do you like?
Exactly.
You know, you need to take some time to find out what your interests are and why you're drawn to them. And come up with a reason why that feels good to you. Maybe because, whatever, you like plants. You like things that smell good. They make you feel good. You know, you like whatever. You like flowers. You like crystals. They feel fun to you. They feel like something that makes you feel calm. You get an energy response from
exactly.
them, right? So it's a really good indication that these are interesting paths for you to explore. And you shouldn't explore them with fear. You should explore them understanding. You can go down a path and say, I don't like that. I don't want to do it.
It's
exactly.
not for me.
Yeah. Like, I tried it. It seemed interesting, but it just didn't mesh with me. It didn't feel like, it didn't feel true or right to me.
Right.
And but when you find something that does, it's just, it's like a fish in water. It just feels organic. It feels natural. It all makes sense.
But I think that's also a really big challenge people have when they first come into this path, because many of them are coming out of religions like Erica, the one you came out of, where there's a very specific code
structure.
Of the way that things should be done.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people step out and they're looking for the new code.
Right.
Yeah.
And it has to be the same.
It has
sort
to,
of
yes. There has to be.
Something.
There's those kinds of traditions do exist within
totally.
Witchcraft with much more structure.
Yeah, for sure.
But there is no, and I think that was actually something I had to work through too, is to say that there's a freedom here and there's a creativity that comes with this path.
And responsibility, too.
Responsibility.
You have to be responsible for your choices, whatever they are, you know?
Absolutely.
Which is an interesting way to do it, because you can't blame anybody else. It's just you.
That's
even if you do it in a group, it's
right.
still just you.
And then I think that's one of the things that I also struggled with when it came to working with deity, was that in witchcraft and or in paganism, the gods are not all knowing and they're not always right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yes.
that's a really big challenge, where it's like, you know, you get the feeling that this god or goddess wants you to do this thing, and you say, I'm not into that.
Uh-huh.
And that you have agency.
Yeah.
And realize that, you know, they're reflections of human experience, and humans are fallible people.
Yeah.
And so the gods are going to have their mistakes and their slip-ups and their dark sides and their flaws as well. And that's something that people, I think, struggle with when they're like, and I said, don't bring in that whole, you know, Jehovah's always right thing to this path, because that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I've
realized I'm a little bit of a trickster, and I didn't really align with that for a long time. But I think that the deity concept like that is a little trickstery too, because I feel like those experiences are really big learning tools.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's not really about that they're right or wrong. It's that you had the experience so you could suss out something really important, like even just discernment. Like, that didn't feel good. Why did I do it? You know, I need to have some understanding about my choices and stuff. And I think that sometimes that's more important, because you really, I mean, I've done some weird stuff, some things that I probably wouldn't have done again. But on the other hand, I know that I have some pretty solid boundaries with that. And nope, not my flavor, not doing that, not my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
And I feel like, too, with this kind of stuff, that that's also very intimidating,
mm-hmm.
the concept of personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of times, Courtney and I have discussed this, like, people will come to you and be like, can I do this? Should I do this? And it's like, well, you're the one that's going to be doing it, and you're the one that's going to face the consequences for doing it. So
mm-hmm.
you tell me, does it feel like something you should do? Does it not feel like something you should do? And whereas, you know, a lot of people who came into more structured environments, they're used to the black and white, you have to do this, you have to do that. Whereas with this, it's like, no, you need to make your own personal responsible decisions
mm-hmm.
of what you can and cannot do. And there isn't necessarily this black and white book telling you can or you can't.
No, and even I work with herbs pretty regularly. And even when, you know, if I know that X herb does X thing, right? If I don't feel a connection with that herb, or if I don't feel like that herb is right for me, it doesn't matter if it does
right.
that thing.
Right.
I like, if I'm looking for a protective herb, I don't have to go with the one that someone recommends to me.
Totally.
I can like find one. I can do some research, and then from there, like, go, how does this feel to me? How does this feel to me? And maybe if you get to the point where you say, none of these feel right, you like look at it again. Like, okay, what am I trying to accomplish
mm-hmm.
here? Because you'll be drawn towards what you're meant to use.
I think for herbs, for me, it's really important to get out there and actually be working with them. And
yes.
This last weekend, I was ripping out an immense amount of English ivy out of my yard. Okay, and there was one
thrilling. That was so fun.
I was so mad. And I was doing it in the rain because it comes out easier. And it was literally choking one of my trees. It wrapped all the way up 6 feet up. And
jerk.
So I'm sawing it and ripping it down. And I'm throwing all this away. And at the very end, I'm actually in awe of this regenerative, persistent, entangled power of the ivy. It can tangle itself and live wherever it wants. And it's this fragile little plant that can take down a tree. And as I cleared all of it, threw it in the compost, and then there was one piece that was still on the ground, I picked it up and I said, "You're coming with me and you work for me now." And I took it inside and I hung it up. This is really funny. So then I strung it up over the doorway. And my husband is used to this. He comes in, he sees a bird's nest laying on the kitchen counter, or he sees, you know, he sees ivy, and he just stands there and stares at it, and he goes, "Ivy." And I said, "Because it can choke the life out of anything that's in our way." And I just watched a little smile on his face. And he named a bunch of politicians he'd like to use it on. Yeah. I have my plans cut out for me with this piece of ivy.
It's totally true. I think that, having a connection with actually working, I mean, sometimes there are herbs that we can't grow because of the environment we're in, and sure, we have to source those. But I also think that when there are herbs you can grow, actually working with them is a really powerful tool.
I'm so
you can grow it in your garden.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And there's so many ways to use herbs. I mean, you can use them in smoke cleansing, you can use them in amulets, you can use them in bath rituals, there's just, the list goes on and on and on. So you can use them in candles. So many.
One of my favorite protection herbs is blackberry bramble.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got so much, and I cut it down, and you can boil it, and then you circle it and just say, like, the powers of this, because you can't get through a hedge of blackberry.
Oh, no, you can't.
You're going to get
impossible.
Stuck. And so you tell that blackberry, this energy that you have in there, which is stuck, you can't get through, you are now going to circle this place that is protective, and nothing nasty, either living or spiritual, is going to come in through this thing. And it also doesn't smell weird when you boil blackberry. Mm-hmm. And
be aware, some herbs reek.
Oh yeah.
So if you're you might not want to first time throw it in your kitchen, because that some of those things there have been a few times when I've worked with herbs, or cooked down an herb or boiled down an herb, and it just, my whole house reeks for weeks.
Oh yeah, your neighbors are like,
are like, "What the heck are you doing?" So
it's a little kitchen ritual.
Maybe try it outside. If you can go outside and do it, or if you can find another way, or grind it down, or dry it and use it. Just be aware that have good ventilation. And also, I think too, the other thing that I always caution people is be cautious when you're using herbs, especially orally. Some people will take herbs orally, and you have to be really cautious. You have to
dosage is a big deal.
Dosage is huge.
Also, interactions.
I wouldn't eat English ivy because you want its powers to bring down trees. Don't do that.
And some of them can burn your skin. There's a lot of education that comes with plants as well.
If you're not sure, if you're like, "I want to use this herb," and you're not sure. If you want to use it in a bath ritual, maybe try a small, like a tiny bit on your skin to make sure you're not going to react to it. I tell people, unless they really know someone that is an herbalist and does understand how to be careful with intake of herbs, mm-hmm. I think you need to be really cautious. Go to someone who's a naturopath that knows what they're doing.
And just because you can buy it doesn't mean
that it's safe to
no,
eat.
No, I mean, I have some plants here that I sell that are magical that you can buy for making topical infusions and making teas, but they're technically poison plants. And so, I'm very, very cautious that people research what they do before they do it, because people are going to do their thing anyways.
And I tell people too, like, if you are like, "What, how can I use this?" I mean, you can put it into you can dress a candle with it.
Put it on an altar or
sprinkle it in a location.
In a little bag.
Put a satchel under your pillow and sleep with it if you're trying to induce dreams. There's so many different ways to do it that when you're first dabbling are safer and easier to work
with.
Absolutely.
I have a question for Erica. Have you ever worked with dandelion as a magical plant? And if so, what do you use dandelion for?
Well, I've eaten it.
Yeah, you can eat dandelion, mm-hmm. yes.
I've eaten it. I've used the flowers. The flowers are supposedly really good for pregnant women. So they have a milder effect, so you can do a tea. So you can have the same properties that you would take dandelion for, but it's less aggressive when you're pregnant, so it's just a milder form. You do have to get the little yellow flowers, of course, not the little blowy seed pods.
Right.
I've also used the milk in some things. I'm not going to name what that is, but just some topical sort of hedge witchery type stuff. Yeah, I mean, for me, if you can eat it, I would probably do that because it's a great plant. Obviously, I would make sure that nobody's spraying pesticides on it. Your dog pee on it. But my place in Eugene that I had, they had a pretty decent garden that I had going, and I was able to watch what happened to my dandelions, and I was able to collect them and use them. But yeah, I mean, the Greeks eat it like crazy, you know, it's a fortifying plant, and it's also something that, you know, it's a weed, you know, it grows everywhere, but most of these weeds are powerful plants that, you know, had a purpose somewhere in the folklore world of herbalism.
Right.
I'm sort of into bitter greens too.
I love dandelion greens all
My partner's all like the year of the boar, right? So he likes to eat, so we can, if we can eat it, we do.
Yeah.
If we can eat it, we do.
That's right.
Is there an herb? What is one of your favorite herbs to work with? Is there something that you kind of
like a really hard time figuring that out because I was like, it could be this one, it could be this one, it could be this one. I like alien plants. Like, if it looks like an alien, I like it. If you look at my little flowers over there right now, yeah, I like it. I got the big protea and the sea hollies. Mm. I love those. The bees, they kind of smell like meat. Do you know that when they are like blooming?
No.
Yeah, the bees love them, but they smell like rotting meat, sort of.
Ew.
They're very strange, but they're a really protective plant to have in your space, and I like it. They look like aliens.
Which ones?
The pokey little
the ones in the vase
stars. Yeah, that like look like
she's walking over to get
she's walking over to get them so we can
admire them together.
What do you know what they're called?
This is a big blue sea holly.
Okay. Big blue sea holly. What? Mm-hmm. How pretty is that?
So I used to grow them in Brooklyn in my little urban garden because I can.
For those of you listening, it's like spiky and
beautiful. Looks kind
of
like thistle.
It does look like
a little bit pop out. I literally just published an
article. Oh, the Rose of Jericho.
This is where I bought mine.
Okay,
this is where I bought mine when you bought me one.
Yeah, I use Rose of Jericho. I have it on one of my
altar. Yeah, I have it on my altar.
I have it in the front entryway.
I can get some more plants here, but
I have it on my altar right now.
See, I have a couple of the sea hollies over here.
And you use those for protection?
I do. Hey, who moved my little... Oh, here it is. This one you have to be careful with. This one's actually Maypop. This is American Mandrake.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Which is toxic.
And what do you use that for? Is that also for protection or...?
It is. It's very protective. It's actually a really powerful plant. It's kind of poor timing. This podcast, I think, is scheduled to come out on the 20th.
It'll come out on the 20th of May, yeah.
This
is actually right after my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, happy birthday. I have a hedge witchery brews and potions class coming out on the 19th of this month.
Oh, man.
We can still advertise it, though.
Yeah.
Let people know about it.
So
we can still come and attend it.
I have 760 people interested. So I do talk about this plant a little bit. And this is kind of one of those ones that I was talking about where you can buy this from an herbalist legally and make a tea out of it or make a topical thing. But it's something to use very much with caution. It's a poison plant. So it's really good with money. It's also supposedly really good if you have genital warts or syphilis, but used in care of a practitioner, you know, an herbalist or a doctor or something. I just think if you smell it, it's got a really interesting smell.
It does.
It's very, like,
Wow, that's cool.
Very powerful. So, yeah, and there's some research that I've been doing
on... It's like
on,
woody and earthy at
it
the
time. It is.
Yeah.
So the natives used to use it, Cherokee and the Iroquois. See, the Cherokee believe that the knuckles are the most poisonous, and so you're only supposed to take the between your knuckle length and only in between the knuckles of the plant, and that is how much you're supposed to use.
Interesting.
Wow. And so they say all the toxins actually come in the knuckles of the plant, and this is where the roots come off there. That's the knuckle.
Yeah.
So when I work with it, I try to work with the in-between points, and I literally just use a very, very small amount when I use it. But yeah, I don't take it internally. I don't want to go down that route. But all parts of the plant are toxic. It makes like a weird little like lemon. May apple is the other term for it. So it gets makes like a little yellowy. Did I say maypop before? Sorry, I'm a little dyslexic. I think I said maypop. I meant may apple, which is American mandrake. Maypop is the passion flower in the window that I was eyeballing. So I talk about that and sort of the folklore history of it. And another thing that they used to do was commit suicide with it. So it is a plant that can kill as well. But there's a lot of poison plants that have these so many qualities. Plants,
yeah.
They literally extract the pharmaceutical industry uses it for genital warts and syphilis. They actually think it might have some anti-cancer, you know, properties about it as well. But it's one of these things you just have to be cautious with. So for me, I keep it on my altar.
Yeah.
I try not to let people touch it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wouldn't put my fingers in my mouth. Really, if you made this into a powder, you know, you could get chemical burns, you know, from it if you grind it up and put it on your body. It's just lots of things that you should be cautious of. So always important to research, but it doesn't mean that a plant, you know, is toxic or not. We have a lot of poison plants.
But that's
here
a perfect that example of, so you don't know what to do, like, how to use this on or in your body, but you can use it on an altar. So it's like a perfect example of you're unsure of the safety of something and going, how can I still integrate this into my practice or into a ritual? You can put it on an altar. You could put it in an amulet. You could, you know, there's so many ways that you could.
In Italian folklore magic, you would put it in like a pouch or some sort of like muslin, wrap it up and wear it and sort of have this communication with the energy of your body and the plant. And that's how you get to know what the properties of the plant are. Notice it's not touching your skin. It's not, you know, interacting with it in any way other than energetically. Just keep it in your life. And that's very much, you know, on your altar can be a space that represents what you're working with. It doesn't have to be something complicated. It can be this root that you dug up and you are drawn to it and you like it. You know, just educate yourself on the best way, you know, to use it.
One of the things that my family, we go camping a few times every summer. And we've done the tour twice now over two different years where the park rangers will give you a tour of the whole campground. And they point out the different berries. They point out like different
like this is
edible
poison.
Plants.
You can eat this. Do not eat this.
These are, you know, they kind of give you an example of the different trees, and these are the things that are, you know, that natives
really cool.
you know have eaten, you know, and these are poisonous plants, things like that. And one of the things that, and I know this, which is why I don't go out and pick herbs or do those kinds of things, is it's amazing how many things. The poisonous and not poisonous.
They look very.
They look
very
like
much.
Unless you really are certain and
same
you
with
know.
Mushrooms. Oh,
yes.
Mushrooms. It's like
yes.
A, it's
and
like
you, unless you're a professional
yum or
and
death.
You know.
Like, well, it's a fine line.
You know, if you have any question in your mind as
don't
to whether or not this
yeah.
is safe, you just
don't do it
because there are things like they would point out things and like, oh yeah, these berries are really delicious and you could munch on these all day. Oh, these berries, you know, you eat. You know, four of them, and you're going to be in the hospital. So it's just like,
and
this is something
like,
that you don't, especially when it comes to ingesting.
Yeah.
If it's just putting it on your altar or something
different,
like that, maybe
yeah.
you'll burn your finger or something, which still isn't good, but, you know, it's probably not going to be fatal.
You can also be, you can also
whereas if you're putting
when
things,
you're collecting herbs,
totally.
Yes.
Smart to do.
If you're putting things in your body, you can't
it,
be
yeah.
uncertain.
I feel like people will be like, what should I, I mean, so I'm an opera singer, and opera singers have, anyone that knows an opera singer will know that they have 750 remedies for like what to do when they're starting to feel bad.
Right.
And people often are like, oh, I'm having this symptom, what should I, and I'm always like, look, you know, there are like the known tried and true, like, you know, like this is a, that are in teas that you can buy in the store. I'm like, sure. But I'm like, do not believe what everybody says and make sure.
Don't just try random stuff.
If someone says, you know what, you should stand on your head while sticking pine cones in your nose. You know, I mean, it's like, and that
Nani did that last
better.
Week, and she
and it was bad.
You know, I just do that for funsies.
Well,
that's
also,
just for funsies.
There's also the I do use essential oils topically in some of my products, but please don't eat them. Please don't eat them. Please don't eat them.
Don't eat them, and be very cautious with essential oils if you have them in pure form. That when you're like, be cautious of how you use them.
I can't tell you how many times, like, oh, I just put that in my water and I drink it, and I'm like, oh gosh, no, please don't.
Yeah, it's
go pick a leaf and put it in your water. Yeah. You're good.
Or cut up a piece of fruit, or do, you know.
I have a perfect example of don't do, and that is, I love the smell of rosemary. Mm-hmm. And I had bought some rosemary essential oil. And
which is intense.
Which is super, super intense.
Burn your eyelashes off intense.
So, yes. So I, being a genius, decided, and I did, so awful. I did this to my husband and my son. My son was younger. We're taking a bath. And I always do bath salts. I always do bath salts, and I put in like two or three drops of the rosemary.
Skin is on fire.
Yes, mm-hmm. Just so that, because it, you know, it helps with the breathing and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so good. I mean, this is an entire bathtub full of water with bath salts in it, and just a couple drops of the rosemary. And of course, the whole room smells fabulous. Well, they both came out. They both left the bathtub early, and they're like drying their hair. And they're like, we are itchy all over. What is going on?
Yeah.
And I had to throw them both in the shower, and we had to wash them off and then put lotion on them. And I had no idea that something. But it's like, that's how powerful these things can be.
It is. And especially when if you are soaking salts in it where it can dissolve into something. Yeah. But if you just shake it into the bath, what it does is it sits on the top layer. Mm-hmm. So it's not diluted into
exactly
50 gallons. It's sitting on your skin. I made that mistake once with thieves oil, and I thought I was gonna die. I was like, I'm not feeling well, and I like put the thieves oil in the bath, which has a ton of clove in it and cinnamon. It's so intense, and I was like, my skin is on fire. It is on fire. Yeah. And I mean, it was hours of my skin being on fire.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, idiot. And you can, there are other ways that, you know, there
I've
are
heard
other
about
ways
a guy who once anointed his junk with cinnamon oil.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
He thought it was going to bring him a woman, and instead it was like screaming and.
That would be agony.
not one to mess around with.
No offense, but that's why he doesn't have a woman. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Like, maybe one of these things explained the other.
Erica, we always like to ask people, like, what is a story that you have had that has backfired? Like, if you've done a spell or worked with a product or an herb or something that has backfired on you, and that's we all have some pretty funny stories of idiot things we've done. Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I mean, I have to think about that. Like, topically?
Or no, even anything. Just a spell or anything.
It doesn't have to be about herbs. It could be any kind of spell.
I got pretty good magic going on.
Early on, did you, like, try anything where you're like, oh, that was a bad plan?
No.
You're just perfect, and
it's just all right, fine.
You know,
fine,
Erica. Let's see. My Jupiter's in Virgo.
Yeah.
And I just... I've been called a very confident witch. I don't do anything that I don't feel good about. So I don't know. I just really own it. I just try to own it. And so I can't remember anything. I can say working with other people and realizing I did not want to participate or take any of that energy with me. And so I probably should have not worked with that person.
Yeah, I've definitely.
That I can definitely, like, I should have just trusted my gut and said no. And that's why I'm iffy about working with other people, because I think when you study with somebody or you do magic with other people, you sort of take on that quality or take that. And Damien Eccles has a new book out, High Magic, that I like his quote on it. It's about magic being a form of poison, and that making sure that you would swallow a portion of it. Because every time you do magic, you're swallowing some of it. And so to take that into consideration with what you're participating in. And I think it's really similar with teachers or other people you practice magic with, is that you're participating in that. And so if you're with a whole bunch of unbalanced crazies, right, you're going to feel that unbalanced crazy. And that
it's
magic
totally
is going to be unbalanced crazy too.
Every time that I have gone, I'm going to work with this person, and there was something inside that was like, it doesn't feel right. Every time I have ignored that, it has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, either something has fallen apart, or the person became really toxic, or I was left with all this gunky, crappy energy, or like, or, and so I now too, I mean, it did take me, because it used to, when I was first exploring, you know, I was just, like, hungry for trying new things.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, this person's doing a cool thing. I'm going to, yeah, that sounds cool. I want to do that. Oh, cool. You know? But then I started to realize, like, wow, this sucked. Or, like, this person's intention was terrible. Now I feel bad that I was even involved in this. Or
right.
this person wasn't responsible.
Big learning lessons.
Big learning lessons. Yeah. And it is, you know, I think it is really important that if you're doing ritual with people, that you know them, that you trust them, that you know that their magic is good, that if you at any time, I mean, this isn't just with people, but with anything, anytime you get that feeling that's like, this doesn't feel right, you're getting that for a reason. You're not getting it to discount yourself. You need to listen to that. And that doesn't mean you have to, abort mission, you know, but you can stop and say, okay, what part of this doesn't feel right? Because sometimes it's just shifting direction a little bit or sometimes, I mean, there have been times when I had a weird feeling about someone and I realized that I actually needed to do some clearing work around myself and some issues that I had just with them that reminded me of past trauma with other people. So I always say, like, if you're feeling off, just kind of sit with it for a second and go, why am I feeling this way? And if you can't identify why then I would step away. I'm like, if I still feel crappy and I can't figure out why, I just think it's better to say, you know, I really appreciate the offer, but, you know, I just don't think I can be involved in this one. So, Erica, you know, we do record a little bit early, so this will be coming out May 20th. Mm-hmm. But is there anything that's coming up after that that people might pay attention to? You know, where can they find you, your classes, and obviously your website?
We're on Instagram and Facebook. Q.MebPDX is on Instagram. Facebook is Queen Meb. You can find us at QUEENMEB.com. That's where all of the events are listed. So on the bottom, I've got a calendar down there that you could actually add to your Google Calendar. So it
you
just
can purchase
shows
tickets
up
there also, yeah?
Yeah, there are ticket links there. And then Facebook is also a very easy one. You don't have to be a Facebook participant to see it. It's public. So all the classes are also linked and ticketed through there. We do some free events occasionally as well, so not everything is ticketed. June 15, it's another Awakening the Witches. It's the Discernment, Banishment, and Protection class. It goes over a couple different types of folklore magic and the different aspects of, you know, that you can kind of research more into. And then some things that I do. I try to keep magic very practical and functional where it doesn't have to be a lot of stuff. I think it's really important when people come in here, there's all these pretty things about, but, you know, it's the person behind the tool. It's not the tool. It's very important to remember. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can buy things, but the things are not what make it work, right?
Yeah.
It's you. So you can go outside and get a stick and a rock and do some protection magic, right? You do not need to buy some fancy things. Some people really align with things and they want to buy them. So totally works. You might be
but
called
it's not
to work.
Prohibitive, yeah.
No, it's not. And I think protection magic is one of those things that people really don't know about. And if you're a sensitive person or you don't know how to do your own energy maintenance and sort of like debris work, then, you know, we go over a little bit of energy work. We do talk about the lesser banishing pentacle, which I'm not a big fan of, but that is an option. And I also have, online, I have a couple other classes that are out as well that are always available. Those are international.
Awesome.
So they're formatted so you take them at your own pace. So the instructor doesn't need to be available at that time. So I have the Nephilim Rising, who's pretty well known on Facebook. She's a Luciferian witch. She's known for some shadow work. She's got a shadow work course that's quite popular. And she's got a Luciferian course that she's been working on for a while, which is going to sell like crazy. And she's awesome. I really love her. I'm trying to get her to come out here to do a talk, too. So we'll see. And then Danielle Dulski, she's done a book launch here. She's got a a sensual embodiment witchcraft course. This is pretty popular. I've got a couple tarot classes on there. I'm a tarot nerd.
And those are all on
the House of Twigs, the School
of
Ritual.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I do reference them sometimes, but I try not to overload with...
Sure.
You know.
It's nice, though. I mean, we really love when there's stuff available online because we have listeners all over the place, so it gives them a chance that people that aren't located in Portland, they're not like, we're missing out on everything.
Well, in this Hedge Witchery's Brews and Potions class, I'm actually writing a larger online course of it. But
oh, amazing.
Because it's online, I try to provide more information. And normally, there are a two-hour class here, so it's kind of limited. And I try to have you know, things that are in the store. Yeah. One thing I did want to bring up, Hillary, because I know you work in the sort of blood magic world a little bit. I do have a magical root here that you can use in replacement of blood.
Oh, really?
Yes. It is. It will burn your skin.
Yes, it
and it is toxic, but it's called blood root.
Blood root. I've heard of blood root.
Yeah,
before.
So you can grind it up and use it in something as long as you're not using it on your skin or taking it internally. You can use it in replacement of. Okay. So say, for instance, don't trust so-and-so. So-and-so can't. They could maybe use that root as something.
That's smart, yeah, because there are some people that if you don't know who you're working with, you definitely should not expose yourself to their blood, and you know, if you have a condition that has you immunocompromised, or if you're a hemophiliac, or if you have any sort of issue with using blood, or if you're even just freaked out by blood, it's awesome to have that as an alternative. We wanted to take a second. Courtney has a really, well, we wanted to end up on a funny note.
Yeah.
So Courtney has a hilarious story.
What not to do?
This is what not to do. Well, I often finish with a recommendation of something to read. And today I have a recommendation, and I feel bad as an author saying this. This is a recommendation of what not to read.
Yeah,
and this is called The Modern Witch's Spell Book. Oh. And it's not modern. It was published in 1971. The biggest problem that I had immediately with this book was that it's incredibly Eurocentric, and it's full of hoodoo spells. And so it's like, the spells are good, but you can also get them from a contemporary hoodoo writer or from the Key of Solomon based on these things. But some of the descriptions are
pretty hilarious.
Hysterical. Hillary and I read these over the...
It looks like an older publication.
Yes, it is an older publication. So,
are we going into 80s or 90s?
70s. Woo-hoo! Yeah, early 70s. But this is kind of dated even for the 70s. Like,
yeah.
This is women's lib movement. Is,
yeah.
And, but some of the things it said just...
We were cracking. Okay. I was like, oh, so, boy. Mm.
Okay. Naturally, full concentration on a photographic, perfect image of the desired lover is absolutely imperative while performing the ceremony.
Ooh, love songs.
What are the odds, do you suppose, that you'll marry a rich man? Every woman dreams up her own private utopia, seldom middle class and modestly appointed. But how many airy palazzos and damask walls and gilded furniture, marbled halls and polished mirrors ever get built on solid foundations? Many more than you might think. Oh, the number of legendary super rich women like Jackie Onassis is still small.
Shut up.
But it always will be.
Shut
there are
up.
Only one or two females counted at the top of the money
females
heap in every
that.
Generation, mm-hmm. though the wealth they need to be queen of this mountain constantly escalates. It's the ordinary souls who have country houses and city apartments and vacation condominiums in the islands whose numbers are surprisingly legion and ever-growing. This was quite a while ago and not...
I'm a little pissed off, though, that you're making fun of my gilded furniture.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
No, this is getting better. Their husbands are the ones who started the grocery store down the street and now own 50. Or the men who opened a hot dog stand and now own franchises on 700 of them across the country. The odds of marrying a rich man are better than ever, and your dreams of palaces have every possibility of coming true.
Well, I fucked up. I didn't get together with a hot dog guy.
Yeah. My husband gets sent to the store.
Okay.
Is that what they're talking about with the grocery store with the husband?
Where's the gender-inclusive hoodoo writer here in this
yeah,
narrative?
Not
That's
happening.
What I want to know.
No, I've got one more really short. This one's hysterical. This is called To Get Him Back.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Suppose you've aggressively gone about getting that attractive man to fall in love with you and even seriously entertain thoughts of marriage. You have a lover's quarrel, right? He raged unreasonably, didn't he, when he found out the hard way you can't cook.
Oh, my God.
God.
Then.
I mean, this is dated for the
70s. This is dated,
yeah. This is, yeah.
No, guess. Then like your 50s, two Afghans, yeah. excited by the uproar, started leaping around and tore the bells off his bell bottoms.
Woo.
And he shouted, me or them, and disappeared into the night. Ah, well, get yourself together and consider the possibilities. You're not about to give up your Afghans, and you'll probably never learn to cook, so you can't really call him and expect warm forgiveness, at least for a week.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
He's supposed to take you...
For a week? So the fact you can't cook is totally fine, because a week later he's going to have forgotten.
He's going to be hungry by then.
Right?
Oh,
this is what I'm saying.
How is he going to eat?
He's going to die starving alone in the house by himself.
His secretary
like
might
feeble,
be cooking
feeble.
For him.
Oh, totally.
I hate this guy.
I know.
He's
so
actually, to be fair, the guy sounds fine. It's the girl that's got some serious issues.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
She's got some serious problems.
I said, you know what? I can't.
Does she recommend any like plants to work with?
What did she? Like, oh, this one's actually pretty hysterical. Take a needle and care. This is where your bloodroot might be helpful. Lovers have always faced absurd situations
actually,
blood root like this.
Is really good for that. Type
yeah,
of
yeah.
Work,
so take a needle and carefully prick the flesh over your heart. Ooh. Write in blood on a clean piece of white silk your name and your lover's name written in the smallest letters possible. Now draw in ash a circle around your names. Fold the silk up and at the first sight of the evening star, bury it in the earth. As soon as it's buried, you may expect your lover to have no peace until he sees you and makes up.
Oh, geez.
But tell no one about your spell or it won't work and may even turn him permanently against you. This apparently is a 16th century mm-hmm. spell, which is mm-hmm. why I said go to the Key of Solomon
mm-hmm.
or the long lost friend or something like that, which will instead
which I used
of
to
this,
have. I think I'm out of.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's. But yeah, this
that,
is
that book is hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
oh
horrifying.
God. I don't ordinarily have much sympathy for girls who find themselves panicked at the age of 20 or 21 about whether or not they'll ever find a man and get married.
Oh, Jesus.
Such girls in the clutches of their fears usually fall prey to all manner of unattractive behavioral quirks that are not only off-putting to the men they meet, but to women recently as well.
I
want to get a picture of Erica's face right now. That's so good.
Erica's face is like frozen in disgust.
I'm just like angry at the book. Like I don't want it on my side of the table anymore. It's like so no. Perfect. It's
I'm like ridiculous. Yeah, I'm not really down with that.
That
Erica
is horrifying.
So anyway, so we're gonna have a balm for that because it looks like Erica has a what to read and stuff.
Well,
read.
This is a new book that I just got from Troy Books. It's the Work Cunning book, a folk medicine herbal, and it has two different sides to the book. So one is like the historical aspect and one is like the sort of
oh that's
magical.
Fabulous.
That's
two
so
different
cool.
directions. They don't sell to everybody, which is something I didn't know, but whatever. There's a couple other magical herbalism books I could recommend. One from the 90s that is still the master herbalism book.
Okay.
With the it's white with like a pentacle on the outside.
I've seen that book.
I cannot get a good wholesale deal on it, so I get them occasionally, but they're used. But that one's great because it actually has traditional medicinal aspects of herbs with magical herbalism, and a lot of times it's either one or the other, right?
Yeah.
So you get an herbalism book. This is how you make a tincture. This is how you
right.
make a salve.
Magic,
go out,
yeah.
identify this plant. Or only magic. This aligns with Mercury. This will help you with this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Do this little magical work with. So, but to find the two combined is really interesting. And this book does kind of combine that, which
that's
is interesting.
Cool.
But this is a mostly Cornish and Welsh magic book publisher. So
excellent.
Yeah, they're cool. I like them. And they're unique and you don't get to see them often.
Love that.
Good old you know, there's Cunningham. That's a great magical herbalism book, but he's a very specific flavor. But I do like his magical herbs book because it
I
does kind
use
of
that
go
one
in
a lot.
Yeah, it goes
I
in it's like an encyclopedia. Awesome. It's just got bulleted stuff. It's not really so much about somebody's opinion about the
practical.
Wrong or right way.
It's very practical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a good resource for, you know, finding that information. There's a couple places online as well. I think we'll probably, I'm working on something for the House of Twigs. We had like a, we called it like a Botanica Grimoire, which was basically like all the different magical aspects of plants, but try to put that back on so it's functional.
That's
it's
awesome.
Just lots of work for one person.
Awesome. Well, we super, super appreciate
this is great.
You having you here today, or actually having you here.
Letting us into your
store
while I was closed and everything.
And talking to us.
Nobody's interrupting us then.
It's always amazing to talk to you and hear the recommendations you have. And it's been just a pleasure having you on. So we have a little thing that we do at the end of each podcast episode. And so instead of as above, so below, we call it as below, so above.
I think so, yeah.
We said it right.
Did I say it right?
We said it right.
We say it wrong almost
every time.
We're like, wait, did we do this right?
I like how these people are like, I want to come in.
There are some people staring. They're like, it says close, but there's people in there. As below, so above. And what we do is we write down on a piece of paper something that we are wanting to get rid of or release, followed by something that we want to bring in. And then we put it in the cauldron and burn it, not in here, but later.
I actually have some flash paper that you can burn.
Yeah! Oh my gosh.
Or I have bay leaves.
Either would be amazing. Bay leaves would be amazing.
I have bay leaves.
Okay.
I have a whole bunch of them. Do you want to do that?
Yeah,
let's do that.
So if you're unfamiliar with this little quick spell trick. We're using bay laurel leaves, right?
Yeah.
And if you burn too many of them, it actually causes a little hallucinations. Don't go crazy.
Don't throw a hole.
But
I'm
going to
need
easy.
A few more then.
They smell like chili, like you're making a chili.
And I'm doing some, you know, research, and I do talk about this in my upcoming class, but they're actually non-toxic. You can eat them. Most people say, like, oh, you can put them in your soup or whatever and cook with them. But most of them are non-toxic. Laurel, a form of laurel is actually toxic, but bay laurel is not. So, but they don't taste good, and they don't chew up very well, so which is why people make soups and teas out of them.
Yeah. I think there's also, if you're cooking with bay leaf, if you find the bay leaf in your soup, you're supposed to make a wish, because that's good luck. But
do you know that it used to be aligned with, like, the dead?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different folklore that goes with it. So it was, like, used in, like, funerary rites and stuff.
Okay.
And I know the Italian sort of belief, they would take a laurel sprig and bless with the water. And the sprig is how you disperse the sort of blessing. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you have a long list on yours. Should I add more?
Right?
So there was this viral hilarity that happened. Do you want to start? We say what we're letting go of.
Oh, gosh. Do I have to be...
You can generalize. You don't have to go into depth.
Okay.
If you don't want. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
Okay. Things have been a little hectic. I've been, like, managing a lot of kind of drama, some around performance stuff, some around personal stuff, some around... And letting go of feeling bad for speaking up for myself when it feels right. Like, I'm letting go of feeling guilty when I'm, like, hey, no, this isn't good. Because I'm someone that tries to really care for people's emotions. But then, and so I sometimes feel bad, like, oh, did I hurt someone's feelings by saying that? So I'm letting go of feeling guilty about putting my foot down when it's right. And I'm bringing in and calling in people that are bringing in, they're adding to my life and bringing in positivity and that are just kind of a good energy to be around. Mm.
Mm.
So mo to be.
I am letting go of perfectionism, because perfectionism is procrastination disguised as quality control. So I've been super perfectiony about my book, and I'm worried about it, but I'm going to let that go, and I'm going to bring in just good, solid work and confidence in my work. So
get the fire really going, so that then
only half of it burned.
Going.
I know. Like, I was really ready to let it go.
We will listen to her. She's got that ivy choke us out.
That's right. She's got the ivy.
I know. I got nervous. I was like, don't burn yourself, and then it didn't work.
Ivy power.
So I am, again, but hopefully more effectively now, continuing to let go of stress. And I'm starting to close up some loose ends on projects that I've had that I'm no longer going to have to do anymore, which is an amazing feeling, because I'm not picking up new projects to replace those projects.
No, you're not.
I'm giving myself space to actually have some time to relax and enjoy.
Because I can't deal with you being busy.
So, oh my God. I've only spent, you know, the last 20 years being busy. So,
I'll deal with it. I'm done.
So, and then I want to bring in more fun, stability, and relaxation with my family, because I feel like all of these side projects have really distracted me from focusing on my family and what's happening with my family and what I want for my family and if there's goals that I have for my own family. So that's going to be what I'm bringing in, is just more focus on the family as a unit and less focus on my 8 million side projects and community helping and things like that, and just trying to kind of be a little bit more tight and
take care of you and yours.
Yes, exactly. And also not just be focused on my side projects and my family, but also focus on me and think about doing fun things for me that I might enjoy. So that is what I am bringing in.
You know, stress doesn't want to burn.
Exactly.
Sizzle.
I don't think you're...
It's just the bubble toilet trouble right here.
Yep.
Something stressful this way goes. Ah!
Okay, as usual, I'm a stress ball, so I'm trying to figure out how to physically de-stress myself more. You know, that feisty Aries. And having a child makes it hard, because I can't go to the gym, really. I do like to bike, so I'm trying to figure out ways of, like, doing that so I can function. I'm getting out of the hermit year. I just got out of it. I'm getting into the Wheel of Fortune year, so I have a lot of big changes that are going to be happening this year. Really positive stuff. So I'm just going to allow that to come in and then come out of my shell a little bit, because I'm a half quiet, shy person in there. So I gotta try hard to come out of the shell, because I don't like being in the spotlight at all.
So yeah, it'll happen.
Well, thank you all for listening. It was awesome to have you as a guest.
Yeah, it was fun.
So mote that be.
Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes, or to ask your burning questions for us to answer in future